We again gather, Lord God, in thy name. And Father, we realize, Lord God, that we are unable, Lord. We can't even talk, Lord God. We can't say nothing, Father. And Lord, anything that a man can say, Father, you said it should be a lie. And only your word should be the truth. And we are gathered here, Father, to hear that truth from your altar, Lord God, tonight. Father, we pray that you minister to the hearts, Father, that will be listening in, Lord. Minister to the hearts, Father, that are at the present audience, Lord. We pray, Father, that you be with us now, Lord. We commit ourselves to you, Father. We love you. We want to hear from you, Father. That is the best times, Father, when, Lord God, you are speaking to us, Father. Let it be, Father, that it will be another day, another time, Lord, that, Father, we have some fellowship with you. We pray for thy protection upon our brother Don, Lord God, and the family there, Father. We pray, Father, that you be with them, Father. And Lord, strengthen them, Lord. We know, Father, they are far away. That family is far away, Lord God, and sometimes it's not, they don't have the physical fellowship like we do, Father. We pray, Father, that you give them strength. Others that are here and are not able to come tonight, Lord, like Sister Esther and the rest of them, Father. Whoever they are, Father, and whoever else is not going to be able to come, Father, we pray, Father, that you pour your blessings upon them. For now, we commit this service, Father, to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. You can get seated. Wednesdays is, sometimes we are very few, and it's understandable. And people are working and something like that. So I have a small idea here. Maybe this thing has been there for some time now. I think it's part four. I looked at it. I didn't know what to call it. But when I went there, I went backwards a bit to look to see what it was, what the last one that I did, and found out that it was part three, so I put it part four. That's how I did. And again, maybe I'm going to use a quote or two that I used in that. So, but this is a different trajectory. It's a different avenue that I'm going to take. And you forgive me for that. And I thought it is not too much, so I added some two quotes. And still not much. It's still not much. Yeah, it's still not much. So. And I'm just going to read. But this is my idea, just to get you to what I'm talking about. That we are in the rapture. But we are in the rapture. And the rapture is eternity. That's what I'm saying. We are in the rapture, and it's eternity. There's nowhere else that the bride is going. And if you want to know what the bride is, people think that this is the bride. This is not the bride. You've never seen me. You don't even know me. The prophet said, you've never seen me. So he's not talking about this. He's talking about the real you. He said, what he raptured was your soul and your spirit. That is what he raptured. And what was the rapture? The rapture was the joining together of him and you. That was a marriage. Remember how many times he was to come on earth? He came the three times. Is that right? We know that. Three times. He came the first time to do what? To die. Three comings, not four comings. Three comings, is that right? He came the first time to do what? To die, is that right? He came the second time to do what? According to the prophet, he came the second time to do what? To marry a bride. That was the second coming of the Lord, is that right? Yes. Now, the third coming, he comes three times. The third coming, he comes with the bride. Why is he coming with the bride? In the millennium, he says he comes with the bride in the millennium. Why does he say that he's coming with the bride? Because after marrying her, he's not leaving her. So he's not coming to the bride. He's not coming. Can you get that? The third coming, he's not coming to the bride. He's coming with the bride. Because after marrying her, in his second coming, he doesn't leave her any other time. They are always with her. And they will never part. Maybe sometimes I would like to bring this idea of the New Jerusalem. You remember the New Jerusalem in Revelation 20, I think 21. The New Jerusalem came coming from God, from heaven, from God, and it came, and it came to the new earth and new heavens. You remember that? It came there. That's what he says. And the prophet teaches very well. In fact, and it's not very plain, but if you go there, you're going to find that that new Jerusalem is the bride. That's right, he's a bride. So that's my point. When he marries her, this is the greatest thing. I'm saying people don't realize that. People don't realize what this is. This coming, the second coming of the Lord, is the greatest thing that can happen to a human being, to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he takes her and they never part again. Amen. From there, when the body goes, drops down, it resurrects in the millennium, and he's still, they're two with her. He will never leave her. Remember, when they die, how many bodies do you have? You have three bodies. So when she dies in this body and drops, the bride goes to the theophany. That's right. That's what the prophet taught. Is right. He will never leave her. The prophet said there in the sixth dimension. He said that was the best place. That was the best of the best places. He said, you talk about love. You're not talking about nothing. You talk about good. You're not talking about nothing. So she goes there. After death, she goes there. The body, she drops the body and she goes there. She has another body. Then from there, she comes down here and that's done. The bride is done about the body, about everything. She resurrects. I don't know how long it will take after the bombs come and bomb everything. I don't know how long it will take. But after that, she comes down and they join together. And they are here, the bride and the bridegroom. Now listen, even in the general resurrection, they're still together. That's why the Bible said that, don't you know that you will judge the earth? Because everybody else don't resurrect. They are there and they are seated here in the judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ and her, they never part. That's the point that I wanted to throw out there. But they'll never part. This is the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing. The only thing, and the prophet said, I think I have a quote in 1953. I've not gotten one for 1956. One for 1960 something after the seals. But he says, the only thing that the bride is waiting for, nothing else, nothing is remaining of the bride except dropping of the body. That's right. that's something. Dropping of the body. When you drop the body, that's all. Praise be to God. But right now, you are in the eternity. Right now, you're in the eternity. Though with this body, you are in the eternity. Praise be to God. But remember what is in eternity is not this. Although this is also eternal. Remember, this is also eternal. Because some people think that this body is not eternal. But, and maybe I teach it wrong. I don't know. but again, I put it there because the quotes of the prophet direct me to say that. Okay. And if somebody says it's not eternal, I will accept. If I'm wrong, that's okay. But the way I see it is this body is eternal. Because how are you gonna live in a body eternally if this, even this earth is eternal? How is it eternal if you're gonna live eternally in it? How are you going to live eternally in a body? Not any other. If God gives you another body, that is not resurrection. The problem is that is replacement. So it must be this body renovated. And he says glorified, is right? Glorified, cleaned up and glorified. And you come from your theophany, with your theophany, and come and tap into that body. And live here on earth for 1,000 years. That's what he said. Praise be to God. That's the bride. So I'm saying, when you get here, in the state that you are in, it's eternal. This is the greatest thing that can happen to the bride. Praise be to God. That's my point. Now, how did we come here? Because when you count, I wanted also to count so that you see what God is talking about, even before I go to my quotes. Now you see, this is it. So that people can get the right picture. I was talking to Sister Esther the other day, and when we talked so for maybe 2 hours, she said, how about this? And we talked and we had a very good fellowship. But that's true. There are a lot of questions about this. I don't know everything. I don't have every answer, but I'll tell you what I know. I'll tell you what I've seen the prophet say. Okay? Now, listen. How do you count this to eternity? from when time when Jesus Christ was here, and you see now it's now eternity. And it's 7 weeks. We don't have any more than 7 weeks. After 7 weeks, you go to eternity. How is it counted? I want you to get that also, so that you don't get confused. Listen, it is about redemption. Of course, I talked about redemption here in the church here, and I don't know how people took it. I don't know, but I'm saying again, if you have any question, I don't claim here that I know it. No, I don't do that. I just say it the way I see it, and from there now you can help me if you think it's not right. I'm not going to be angry. I'm going to change. If I'm wrong, I'm going to take yours because it's right. I'm going to take the right thing. But for now, this is the way I see it. Praise be to God. Now listen. How is it counted? Because I want you to see that it's eternity, right? How is it counted until we come to the eternity? Because you got to be seven, and the eighth is the eternity. It's always like that. God does not have an even number. God has seven. Seven is the number of completion. Is that right? Now let's go to the beginning, and that's what I was teaching there. But I'm not teaching that now. Let's go to the beginning. What God wanted was a creation. God was just alone there, is right? But he did not intend that we stay in his mind. God did not intend that we stay in his mind because we were in his mind as genes, as the word, as the soul. We were in his mind. He didn't intend that. God wanted that one day, he'll have some people like you that are walking around here. Good. He intended that. So what does he do? He comes from eternity and drops in a period of time. But the problem is, that does not mean it's not eternity. It's still eternal. Eternal continuing in an element of time. That's what he says. Look at that. But it's still eternal. Eternal does not change. So the people that he's going to create here, that are eternal in him, does not stop being eternal. They're still eternal. But now they have been brought into a period called time. And his time is 1 week. After 1 week, he doesn't know where to go. He's done. He's finished. Can you understand what? So he starts with the first day. He says, that's the first day. He says, in the beginning was the creation. He created earth, the earth, and heaven. Is that right? Morning, he says, morning. But I don't know, brother Michael, I don't know how to count that. Because he says, morning and evening, I've thought about that. Morning and evening, the first day. That's a night. Evening and morning, isn't that night? And he says, evening and morning, one day. Like that. But however you count it. But it's the first day, second day, that day, fourth day, and sixth day, he creates a man. Sixth day, he creates a man. Then in the sixth day when he creates a man, then he puts him in the seventh day and he's still continuing, right? In the seventh day. Now, in the seventh day, God rests. The seventh. Is that right? God rests. When he's rested and left the man in charge, the fall comes. So that 7 days are not completed. Can you get that? It's not completed. It's seven. Seven has not even been completed. Because if Adam completed one day, he could have been 1,000 years. And the prophet says, no man has ever been one day. Because he said, when you eat that tree, you die the same day, that day. And nobody has ever been old enough, one day old. Nobody has ever been old enough to be one day old. Even Methuselah, I think was 906 or something. 169, that's right? 969. 969. That was very close to a day. Maybe he died. If I count from morning to evening, maybe he died around 5. Eh? Just around 5, that's right. But how does God count? God counts every day is 1,000 days. It's around 1,000 years, is right? So we are talking about 1,000 years. So 7,000 years. That's God's week. Are you getting it, my wife? Exactly. I hope you get. Are you getting? You know we talk. You know, like I'm studying here and you are listening here. I'm the teacher. No. It's a fellowship. So we got to understand what we're talking about. Is that right? So that was 7,000 years. So the 7,001, that is when sin came. So it was not completed. So God comes, what did you do now? What did you do now? So he starts another week. God started another week. Praise be to God. For what? For redemption. Now this other week is God. That was God's Eden. Pure, good, everything good. No sin. No nothing. There was no sin, no nothing. And that's where people get wrong. They think that it was wrong. It was not. There was no sin in Eden. Can I say something else? Praise be to God. They even didn't have a sense of sin. They didn't know. They were ignorant of sin. The problem, the Bible said they were naked and they didn't know. In other words, you can call somebody like stupid today, like fool. He's a fool. It's a fool to sin. He doesn't know sin or what is sin. And you know that's where I can prove to you that that is where we are now. Now, spiritually speaking. But that's where we will be in the new earth and new heaven. No sin, no nothing. The prophet says, in that new earth and new heaven, sin and memory will be completely burned up by the holy fire. Can you understand that? You have no memory. You know the devil. You know the devil is so bad. You know, one time I saw him kick Michael and Michael fell. And Michael was my brother. I fell too. But there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that memory. But one day I was so sick and I did that. There's nothing like that. That is bad. You never remember that you have. Like I broke my heart. And Michael lost his heart. There's nothing to remember. Brother, you have your full heart. You see, where's that finger? Wherever it is, it will come back to you. Yes, sir. Every hair that has gone, it will come back. Everything. My heart. You know, my heart is very weak. I will never remember. No scar, no nothing. Not only that something I can see, it will also be wiped out in my mind. Can you? I don't know how to explain that. But you get that. It will be wiped out. No memories. No nothing. Completely burned up. Yeah. I hope you get that. And I would like to have time sometimes maybe. And I show you that is exactly where we are in something called true justification. No memory of sin in our spiritual beings. No memory of sin. No memory of nothing in our spiritual beings. Nothing but purity and purity and purity. Why? Because that spiritual being called the soul and the spirit are in the eternity. But now the counting. Before I come here, all this talk is just about counting. I don't know why can't I just count? Okay, just talk so much, but just counting, is right. So we had the seven, is right. Now God starts another seven. The seven is called the foreign seven, or Satan's Eden. It's called Satan's Eden. This is another seven that God has started. It's not going to be seven for the devil. It's going to be six. It's called Satan's Eden. I think you have read that book called Satan's Eden, isn't it? Right? Yeah. It's where the devil is the one who is ruling. You come here and everybody is here. He comes by the devil, by the way of the devil. Every animal comes by the way of the devil. Every lion eats the other. That's death and everything. Death and sin and everything. And you cannot say any church or anything. There's nothing that is pure here on earth, even this body. Everything is just bad as bad can be. Right. Praise be to God. Amen. Most welcome, sister. I hope you get that. No, nothing good. Until. Now, that's right. That's called Satan's Eden. I hope you get that. Yes. Satan's Eden. What is it? God in Satan's Eden is redeeming his people. It's time of all for redemption. He's redeeming his people. Now, now listen. It's supposed to be 7,000 years. Is that right, Sister Rebbe? 1, 2, 3, 7 years. The first one was 7,000 years, is that right? So this should be 7,000 years also. Is that right? Now, he starts and goes. He's doing it. He's doing that now. Now, now the question is, a bit, Sister Rhoda, the thing that is confusing is, how do we count these 7 days and we say that we are in the eighth? How are we in the eighth now? Are you getting it? How many understand what I'm saying? How do we? That's a question. How do we contain mercy? Now we are in the eighth. How are we? Because I'm saying we are in the eternity. We are in the eighth. That's what I'm saying. How are we? That's a question. That's a good question. Eh? I don't know where that comes from, but that's a good question. That's a good question. How are we in the eighth then? Because now that has been 6,000 years. So one, count 5,000 years. Is it right? 6,000 years now. And we go now to the millennium. Even our calendar is showing us we are in the millennium. But the prophet says this calendar is not right. It has lost very, very many years. You count it something and it's not right. But it's just about. It's not very bad. Even if you take about 10 years or something like that, it's just about that. Is it right? Because we are talking about thousands and thousands of years. Now we come here. So where are we? We are now just about to get to 1,000 years. The millennium. Is it right? So how am I saying we are in the eighth and we have not even touched the seventh? That's the question. Now, let's come here. Now, so if you go on, that is the redemption of the earth. It will take 7,000 years, is it right? Even the redemption of the people will take 7,000 years. Okay? The completion of the redemption of the people to be 7,000 years. But now, above the earth, it's going to take 7,000 years. Now, 2,000 years, Noah's time. Is that right? First 2,000 years. Are you following this mathematics, senior? What? Yeah, I know you know mathematics. I don't. But you see, 2,000 years, Noah comes. Is that right? Now, from there, another 2,000 years, Jesus drops his bread here now. How many are those? 4,000 years. He has made now the Redeemer. He has not started making you, redeeming you, redeeming the human being. Is that right? The brother and sister, he's not started redeeming the bride. No, not yet. Praise be to God. Okay, now he comes here. Jesus Christ comes here. So the earth continues in its redemption process. When he drops it here, now in the next 2,000 years, Jesus comes here and takes a bride. Is that right? And immediately he takes a bride, he's going to take them to the millennium. So the earth is headed to the millennium. Where it's going to be banned completely. And everything is banned. But Satan is not banned. Because why? Why is he not banned? Because those are bombs. They cannot finish him. Is that right? Secondly, he was not finishing the seventh day. In the seventh day, the Garden of Eden, he was there. So if God does anything there, and you say, no, that's not a fair game. God is fair. You're going to be there. God is fair. So he comes now, destroys everything. Everything that belongs to him. Everything that, even this body that belongs to him. Everything that belongs to the devil is completely destroyed. But he remains. He doesn't have nothing to work with. He's in prison. I hope you, if nobody gets it, those people that I'm telling everything, everybody telling and preaching like that, you people get it. At least you people get it. You are my people, and you are the people who can correct me, Brother Gumba, there, that's not right, that's not right. And be free, brother, be free. Praise be to God. Now, from there, that is the earth. The earth is come down like that. And now the devil is here, but now it's completely renovated. And now everybody's dead, and now the bride comes and starts here on earth with a glorified body. The devil's still there, but there's nothing he can do. There's nothing he can do. Just like you. The devil is here because you are in this body of the devil, and nothing he can do. You are justified. You got to go to God. There's nothing he can do. There's nothing he can do. All he wants, he can do all he wants. He can even kill you. That does not do nothing. That does not do nothing to you. That is you. Right. You are God's, and you belong to God. You are son of God. You cannot even sin.
Right.
And God is not intending to do anything. In the Garden of Eden, he intended that people can fall so that he can display. He's a savior. He's a healer. Now, he's proved it. He doesn't need those things. He doesn't know that it's done. I've done what I wanted. I've shown to the devil and to everybody that I'm a healer. I'm a savior. I'm here. Now, I don't want any other thing, any other death. Now, I'm taking them back to where they were. to what I wanted. You know, when he created Garden of Eden, he looked and said, this is what I desired. This is what I wanted, in the book called God's something to perform. I don't know. A book called like that. Power of transformation. God's power of transformation. He said like that. He looked and said, this is what I wanted. This is what I've in my mind before I created the earth and everything else. Before I started my creation, this is what I wanted. And I got it. I love it. I love it. The prophet says, it was perfect. It was good. That's what he wanted. Amen. I hope you get that. Amen. Now, I ask a question in that when I was reaching there. I ask this question. Yeah? I'd like to ask you a question. What if there was no fall? And of course, that is hypothetical. That is not in God, as I said. There's nothing like what if, right? But there's also another question he asks. What if there was no redemption? What if? So what if there was no fall? After seven, where would he have gone? To eternity. He doesn't have another week. After 1 week, it's over. He goes to eternity. Is that right? So now we had another 7 weeks because of the fall. And this have been the foreign 7 weeks. All right. Or 7 days rather. A week. Right? So that's the end. And it goes the seventh day, which is 1,000 days. Now the bride will live here, and she will not die, and she will live just like God wanted for 1,000 years, for 1,004 years. Praise be to God. When you resurrect, if it is a baby, because they are babies that are born, and they are predestinated to be the bride. If they arise, they are 6 days old or 7 days or 2 months or 1 year. It doesn't matter. Praise be to God. When he resurrects as a member of the bride, they will live here on earth for 1,000 years. When you resurrect, you live here for 1,000 years. What does that show? It shows that redemption has been completed. God done what he wanted. He wanted a people here who can live 1,000 years. And they will live for 1,000 years. Is that right? Now that's that. Now, my question is, how do we come to accounting of the bride's seven thousand years, or whatever you're going to call them. Now, listen very carefully. Are we together, Asanath? Did you work today? Oh, you know, you should not sleep. All right, now, look here. This 7,000 years, God takes them and takes 4,000 of that, creating the Redeemer. Is that clear? Is that clear? Not agreeing. As an other, you can disagree with me, it doesn't matter. But I'm saying, that's what he did. He did 4,000 years creating the Redeemer. And for 4,000 years, he created the masterpiece. And I brought a quote from the masterpiece book. Yeah, that's the masterpiece. He created that. Okay? That's Jesus Christ. He stood there. Now, from there, just like he did, because he got to be exactly like that in the Garden of Eden. Okay? From there, he takes Jesus Christ and lays him down. Can you get that? Is that clear? He lays him down. Just like he laid Adam in the Garden of Eden. Is it clear that? My wife, is that clear? He lays him down. When he lays him down, he goes in his ribs and gets him out of that. He gets a church out of that. He gets an alive. Because he fell in the Garden of Eden, this one also fell. We have quotes that are says and the scriptures, like Acts 2:46 and 47. And Acts, I think, 5. 35 or something. I don't remember that. But Acts 5 and Acts 2 is going to explain that very well. That there were people, the people that came from Jesus Christ, the first church age, there was no bad people at all. There were only Christians, only people who were joining in that group of the apostles were the people who were pure, predestinated seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the prophet is saying. And the Bible. Nobody was wrong. Is that it? Do you get that? Now, God starts the 7 years there. But he's not calling the 7 years. He's calling them seven church ages. Can you hear that? Those are the seven church ages. Seven church ages are the 7 years, seven weeks, as the 7 days. Can you get that? And it took 2,000 years, it will take 2,000 years, 2,000, the 7 weeks, or the 7 days, that is seven church ages. Are you getting it? It has been like that. Can you negotiate that and get to it? But now, we are not in the year, 1, 2, 3 years. The years continue, isn't it? But in the years, he takes 2,000 years to redeem. This is the redemption of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eve needs 7 days, is that right? 7 days of Eve are called seven church ages. I hope that is clear. Is that confusing now? Rabbi, how is it? Is it clear? Exactly. They are not 7 years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1,000 years now. God calls it seven church ages. Seven church ages. Those seven church ages are for the redemption of the bride. Is that right? Now we start the first church age. We go to the second church age. That church age. When it comes to the seventh church age, he's done. He's done redeeming the bride. That's not for the earth. This is not for the lion. This is not for that. No. Praise be to God. This is for the church. For the bride. The members, and because they are members, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the whole group called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's redeeming his body. He's redeeming the bride, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many years? 7 years, which is seven church ages. Now, if you start reading now, you can understand. Otherwise, and it's like, I've just preached all my time. You are not finished preaching now. You can at least you understand what I'm talking about, is right? Amen. Yeah, seven church ages. The seven church ages are the seven are the week of redeeming the bride. The week that God is redeeming the bride, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first church age is 1 year. Though even those years don't go together. Like Paul, I think he had 300 years. I think it's Koruba who had somebody who had 500 years. It goes on, goes on, goes on. And the problem when it comes to Brother Branham, the seventh church age, he says dash. He doesn't say where does it go. Praise to God. But it is finished. Listen, it is finished when the seven church ages are finished when Brother Branham is here. The 7 days. 7 days are finished when Brother Branham is here. That is when he comes, when Jesus Christ comes from heaven. Can you get that? When Jesus Christ comes from heaven. Revelation 10, are you getting it, my wife? Revelation 10, 1 to 6. In verse 6 he says, time shall be no more. What is that? The seven days are over. It's over. 7 days are over. I'm done with the work that I was doing to redeem Eve. Can you get that? Is that clear? I'm done. I'm finished redeeming Eve. Eve is here now. I can take her. Do you remember, my wife, do you remember what I was telling you? That you are doing something. She drew something. She drew me something. I don't know. I don't know I can draw it. I think you need to draw it on the computer. The thing that you are drawing. How do you call that? Hexagon or sexagon or what? With seven sides. What do you call that? With seven-sided kind of something. Okay? See that? That's the church. That's the whole body. But every corner, you take the line. No, don't worry. You take the line. If you get like a corner like that, get the line. When you have this corner come this way, take that line and continue. That continuation are the people of the world that actually go to hell. Can you get that? And every age has been like that, even the seventh. When it comes to the seventh, that is why, that is the answer that you have for all these churches that you see around, believing Brother Branham. I hope you got that. Those are the people who are believing Brother Branham, but they are way away. Because God had another corner. God had another corner and completed the building, is right? Now the building, six, seven-sided building is complete. What happens? He takes it. He took the hair of it. That's what he wanted. He took the hair of it to himself. Praise God. And that is the bread. He takes the bread now. When he takes the bread, he's done. All these 7 days, what was he doing? He was trying to save his bread. And he has saved her. He's got him. When he took TikTok, well, that's why the prophet says, when he took that book, redemption was over. No more mercy, no nothing. Why? He got what he wanted. He got that. That whatever you call her sex, you can Google out and see what seven-sided box is called. I don't know. Seven-sided something figure. I don't know what it's called. But he took that seven-sided thing and this is mine. He took that. That's, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with the land. I'm done with the world. So whoever is sinner, be sinner still. Whoever is righteous, be righteous still. Why? I'm done. My work of redemption is over and done and completed. Now, let's go. Let's go to the reading of the. If you have any question, please. And those people who are listening in, please. We are trying our best. For those of you who are listening in, and even you, we are trying our best. We are just trying our best to bring this. If you miss something, don't say it's that simple. You know, I saw one time Don was writing to Brother Holmes, and it feels like that sometimes. Don, we were in Kenya, and Brother Don was writing to Brother Holmes. He says, I feel ashamed even asking this. That's how we feel when asking something. Can I tell you something? There's nothing simple here. There's nothing simple here. you get somebody like Boss. Boss is very good. He knows mathematics. He's gone to the university doing those mathematics. Okay? Now, give him 2y squared plus x minus. You know those numbers, when I look at them, they brighten me. I don't understand. I just don't look at it. I don't know where it's going. I don't know even. Because to me, it doesn't mean nothing. What is x plus x? I don't understand. Give me 2 plus 2 so that I can get 2 halves and I get out to 4. I say 4. You see? The other thing, x, what is. I don't. But give him, or senior, give him that mathematics that this house needed. What? Give her. She just. Can you get that? Give me. I'll look at it and go home. I don't know. I can't go nowhere with it. Do you see that? So don't think that it's simple. It's not. It's simple because God has revealed it to you. Amen. And unless God does that to anyone you think that is not. Don't feel ashamed to ask. Amen. Yes, don't feel ashamed. There's nothing wrong. And you need to ask. We are doing our best. If something is not clear, ask. Write me a note. You can write me a note, something. We talked very much on, was it on Sunday? With mom. Talks with mom. She said some things like, this was very good, this is what I saw, like that. And we discussed it, and she was very happy. And I like that. Be free. And I told her, be free. Don't think that we cannot talk. Because she said, you know, I cannot discuss this. That's what she said. You know, we cannot discuss this because I'm myself. I'm not. No, nobody's deep. Nobody's deep. I'm not standing here because I'm deep. No. Nobody's deep. I'm telling you, nobody's deep. We are all the children of God that God is talking to. You think you're so high? Or about a donkey? God talked to a donkey. Why couldn't God get somebody around there and talk to? God uses whatever he wants. God can use you. God can use anybody. You are a child of God. And God will come and talk to you. Yes, sir. Feel free. Amen. All right? Don't be like, I don't know. This is so simple. No. There's nothing simple here. It's simple when God reviews it. When it's not. And who knows? Maybe you God intended that you will ask and I'll say and this is going to happen. Oh, I'll ask Brother Michael, and Michael will say, you show me this. You know, let me give you an example. If we don't finish these quotes, we have another day. Don is not here, and Michael is preaching on Sunday, and the rest of the days are mine. I don't know why Michael cannot take more, but I'm with you, don't worry. But listen, there was a quote, brother. It is paragraph 111, 110 and 11 of the book called Who is This Melchizedek? Brother, I was beat up with that in Kenya. And that brother did not know what it meant, but he acted like he knew what it meant. And he beat me with it. Every time I started to speak, he throws it on my face. And I thought he understands it. And later on, he realized he didn't even, he didn't even know what it was. Then I'm coming here and I'm asking Don, you know, they are just telling me this, brother. I was only even asking him a question. Because he says that if you're in this body and you go in there and you meet the body and you meet the Lord Jesus Christ in there in your body, then you okay, something like that, and then the glorified body, the theophany comes and picks up the glorified body, and I could not connect this air. And I said, brother, just read up there. The air is rapture. I said, what? And like that, I said, whoa. It opened up. It's that simple. It's that simple. He's talking about the air. When you go there, and you can be in the air and still in the body. Still in the body, and in the, what is there? In the rapture. You can be, we are in the rapture now. We are in the rapture now, and we are in the air. Can you get that? And when we die in the air, when we die in the rapture, what happens? We die, we go to our theophany. And then the theophany and yourself comes down here and picks up the glorified body. I do not, when it happened, how simple. I looked, brother Don, I've never looked at it like that. And he didn't. It was just like a joke. Yeah, it's in there. I see in there. Up there. He says in there. I said, I look at him and say, what? Don't think that there's nothing simple here. Until God does that. Yeah. And he says, oh, and you see it. When you see it, now it becomes simple. So feel free. Fellowship. Another thing. We like talking very much. This is me. I'm sorry about this, but we like talking about, and I'm not saying that you don't talk about how work is, how things is, but give yourself time when you meet to talk about the word. Talk about it. Talk about, Brother Don was reading that. Did you hear that good? Did you hear this good? That's very important. Do you know what the prophet said about that? He said that whenever you talk about him, he comes around. Yes, and he comes in your midst. Amen. Praise to God. And when he comes in your midst, he always does something. This is it. Give me about 10 minutes to read these quotes. Just two, three quotes in my commentary. Now, in Ephesians 1:10, it's called now. If you're putting it down, Ephesians 1:10, it's called not a dispensation. Ephesians 1:10, it's called not a dispensation. Paul was talking about when it comes, it will be the fullness of time. Right? The fullness of time. And of course, in Acts 2, when the fullness of time, and that was the, let's not get into that. It was Pentecost, and let's not get into that. Now it's called the fullness of time, and Daddy read it there in the church there, and it was good. It was very good. Okay. Ephesians 1:10. It's called not a dispensation, not the seventh day. It's called the fullness of time, and when the fullness of time has come, that's when time have been fulfilled after the seven church ages are over. And you know that? After the seven church ages are over, after the 7 days are over, that is now the fullness of time. Is it, time has been fulfilled. Time for what? Time for the redemption of the church. Not the time for the redemption of the world. Not yet. The prophet said, for the redemption of the world, it continues into millennium. Right. Although the bride goes there in the millennium, when they die and they resurrect, time is still going on because 7 years have not been finished. But time for the redemption of Eve is done. And God gets her Eve. I mean his Eve. He gets his Eve. Now, again, fullness of time has come. That's when time has been fulfilled. When there's no more time. That word that Jesus said when he came down, Revelation 10 verse 6, time shall be no more. Don't be confused again on that. It's simply this. And if you want to quote saying exactly like that, I'll give it to you. Time shall be no more. Jesus Christ says, time shall be no more. This is what it means. It means church ages are over. Right. Yes, simple. It's just simple. Time shall be no more. He didn't mean the time shall be no more because when he came, there was still 1,000 years remaining. Right. So he took the bride and declared time shall be no more for the bride. Why? The seven days to bring her back is there. And he gotten her. Now she's taking her to the 1,000 years. Asa, the prophet said, it is a honeymoon. 1,000 years, the seventh thousandth or something. The 1,000 years, the last one, which is seven, that would be the, what? The honeymoon. When you marry, you take somebody honeymoon. Is that right? That's the honeymoon of the bride. Okay. No devil there. No devil. Devil is there, but he cannot do you nothing. So maybe you, because you have a glorified body, maybe you'll be seeing him over there, passing over there. There's nothing you can do. I don't know. That's my thinking. That's just imagination. You'll be super. Remember, you'll be super. Your orphan and glorified body are together now here on earth. So you'll be seeing, you'll be knowing things that you don't know now. Yeah. So you'll be seeing him now, going. Oh. Maybe, I don't know. That's my, just a human imagination. Then you go into what? Into eternity. After the seven churches is over, and it is, when there's no more time, then you go into eternity. After the seven churches is over, and it is over, the seven churches is over, the whole box of those sides, seven sides, is over. Now he takes it. There's no more. Okay. So, and the seven churches is over. And it is, Ruler is over. Methodist Church, that's his way, is over. Pentecostal is Brother Branham. And I was very happy when Brother Keenan said that. I was very happy when Brother Keenan said this is Malachi 4:5. Because that was something that I was very happy about. I've been praying about that anyway. Okay, let's not get into that. And now you go into what? Eternity. No more sevens. No more threes. No more. Why? He's done. You cannot count him now. This is the third day. This is the fourth day. There's nothing like that. It's done. It's finished. There's no numbers. No nothing. There's no counting. There's no nothing, you know, all these are types. You know, when the moon comes from there, 3 days, 4 days, it's big moon. That represents the bride of the church, is right? Because the prophecy is the moon represents the church, is right? So even the moon coming from there and going there, that's why the Muslims watch the moon. You see, the half moon, second moon, I don't know how to count them. I think Gabriel knows how to count them. They were told in school to go out every day and write it. How do you see it? I've never done that before. So they know. I don't. But that also typed the seven churches. And it's that. Not looking at the moon now. It's over. In fact, let me tell you something. In the eternity, in the physical eternity, not the spiritual eternity, in the physical eternity, there will be no moon or sun. Yeah, there will be nothing like that. Jesus Christ will be the moon. If we want right, Jesus Christ will be the light. Right. No. Then you go into what? No more. The eternity. Where? Eternity. No more servants. In the millennium, I know. In the rapture, when he comes and takes you, there are no more numbers. No. No threes, no more other. They are in the eternity. Where there is no such time as numbers and times and things. Amen. Oh, you see now? Okay. See? Eight cannot be counted. Can you see? Eight cannot be counted. Counted with a week. See, it cannot be counted. 80 days in a week, you cannot do it. See, because there's only 7 days in a week. Count it any way you want to Sunday. To Sunday is the first day. Any way you want, because sometimes we count, some people count up to Saturday. Count it any way you want. Start Sunday. If you come to seven, there's no way to go. Count it from Monday, there's no way to go. Any way you want, Sunday is the first day of the week. See, you count seven. And then you got to go back and start again. Count seven, come back and go over. See, let me just read the last one here, and the scripture, and I finish now. And we lived through all these types in here. But when you hit the eighth, in the redemption of the earth, when you hit after millennium, the seventh, that's eternity. We are not starting another week. Is that clear? We're not starting in another week. And we're not starting another week for the bride. After the churches are over, we're not starting another churches. What for? The purpose of the churches was to redeem the bride, and he has gotten up. I think we'll get up. And we lived through all these types in here. But when you hit the eighth, you go on into eternity. You don't come by laws. He repeats that again. No numbers, no nothing, no laws. There are a lot of things that have been taken away. There are laws here that you got to be baptized in the name of the Lord. There's nothing like that. No laws, no issues, no nothing. Here there's nothing. I wanted people to get that very well. Here there's no nothing. You're not doing anything. Here you're not doing anything. And I have quotes here down there that you can see. You're not doing anything. How about sanctification? He sanctifies you. He knows how to do it. Even don't, when he gets you, he sanctifies you. Right. Praise be to God. How about repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? He justifies you. Everything, when he gets you, he says, this does not need nothing. She's never done nothing. She doesn't need sanctification or anything. I've done that already. I've done that. This is a finished work. No baptism, no nothing. There's no nothing, no issues, no nothing. There's nothing for you to do. I hope you get. I hope. Can the people get that? I wish people can get that. There's nothing for you to do here. Okay. No issues, no nothing. Why? Because he has finished. This is a time that he has finished with redemption. Those things you are doing because redemption was still there. There are some things to do. do and don't. Here there's no do and don'ts. I'm not telling you to go around and committing. If you start going, doing and committing whatever you're committing, that shows you're not here. Right. You're not one with him. Whoever is one of him, whoever is grabbed by him, there's nothing he can do. He's a prisoner. Amen. He's sanctified, justified, and baptized by the Holy Ghost and everything, and he came and dwelled in him. Amen. This is a time for indwelling. And when he indwells in you, you're not going to tell me to do nothing else. Because he indwells you, now go get baptized. There's nothing like that. That was why. Why can't you tell me to go get baptized and repent? Why? Praise God. Why are you repeating it? Why are you repeating what he did? He finished it. Why are you doing it again? When he took you, he justified you. He sanctified you. Praise be to God. How do you think? Let me ask you a question. How do you think that he says he took the book, your old book, and taken to the sea of forgetfulness? Where do you think that? There's nothing like sea of forgetfulness. I mean, God, of course, is. But some of these are figurative. There's no sea somewhere. What is it? It's annihilation. It's annihilation. Can you get that? Annihilation. He took that thing and took it. Annihilated it. He burnt it completely. Never again to be anywhere. I hope you get that. Well, what do you want? What else do you want? Cannot even sin. He justified me. He sanctified me. He burnt it. Praise be to God. Who am I? I'm pure, clean, son of God that cannot even sin. I hope you get that. Why are you telling me to go do other things for redemption? Am I going to redeem myself? There's nothing like that. He finished up with me. I'm a finished work. I cannot go to hell. I am owned. I hope. Is it clear? Amen. I hope it is. I know I've taken a bit of time, but let me finish. I know my wife is tired, but let me finish this quote and then in the scripture and then we cross. You come here by presentation. The only reason you come is because you are predestinated. I'm going to jump from there and you can read it. And we are all heading the seven churches. Churches should blah, 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 blah. Let me read the scripture now. The burden, Malachi 4:3. Okay, there. The burden of the word of the Lord. You come here by predestination. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, say the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? I've saved you, but wherein am I saved? That's what you'd ask today, right? But they say, wherein has thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord. Yet I loved Jacob and hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage with the dragons of the wilderness before any child. Now, you can tell Esau to be baptized 20 times. He doesn't help him any good. Praise be God. You can tell Jacob not to be baptized or to be baptized. Whatever he does, he is loved. He's of God. There's nothing he can do. Praise be God. You come here by predestination. You come because you cannot come. You cannot come. You are here. Let me even use not come, senior. You cannot even come. You are here. Where? Down there, you can see, I have another quote down there, but I'm not going to read it. There's a gathering place. The prophet says, I wanted to read that. There's a gathering place. Where? In Christ. You cannot be here in Christ in any other way. You are here in Christ. How did you come? You don't even know. You yourself don't know. You found yourself here. You are here. You are already here. There's nothing you can do there. Why? Because you are predestinated. Okay, let me look here. Now look, verse 13. That's just that line, and I could finish now. Who is this Melchizedek? Just write down there, paragraph 13. Now look, first is justification, like Luther preached. Second, sanctification, like that's what God does. All this God does. There's nothing for you to do. That baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's Pentecost, like Brother Brown preached. That's right. Then comes the rapture. Then comes the rapture. See, you've done. Let me just read this for Solomon. Sorry. See, you've done has passed through time and dropped into eternity again. Not keeping of days and keeping of Sabbaths and new moons and things like that, but has passed, changed your form. Not annihilated. It's not that you are annihilated, glory, but passed from death unto life. Oh, what the Bible does teach us. See, passed from one to another. Amen. Let us pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for being with us and bringing those things out, Lord. My prayer is, Lord, and I have a burden, Lord, and I would like these things to get out to the people, Father. It's my prayer that those people who are listening, not that is anything that I would say is great or anything, but to me, I'm seeing it, and it's so great, Lord. And I pray, Father, because I cannot get it, especially unto the young people, Father. I can't do it, Lord, but you can, Father. And I pray that you do it, that you put it, Father, in the hearts of the people. Now, as you know, Lord, that I had another quote here about the desire. There were people who were given something in parable by Jesus Christ, and everybody went home. But his disciples went to where he went to rest and asked him, Master, we'd like to talk to you a bit. And they said, why do you talk in parables like the way you did? We didn't understand the parables that you gave about the sower. And he said that I speak in parables so that hearing people not hear and seeing people not see. But you, though you didn't understand, you were given to hear. And that was interesting because they didn't know also. That is why they were coming to ask, because they didn't know. But that given to hear in them was a desire to know. They could not rest. They could not go home like the rest of them. But they came to you because they had that. And I pray that my sisters and my brothers and myself, we desire to know these things, Lord. We search. We come to you and ask, what did you mean here? What did you mean here? And like you did to them because they were given to hear. Father, you opened it to them and let them understand. We desire that. We are the people who are given to hear, Father, these things, Lord. We can answer that question that you asked. Who can I teach doctrine? We are the people that you can teach doctrine, Lord God. We are your people, Father, that you can. We are the people, Father, that you said, we will not drink with you here again until we drink it anew in my Father's house. We are in our Father's house, Lord, drinking anew with you, having the real communion with you, Lord. We are those people. And we are here, Father, desiring that you continue opening yourself to us. As you do, give us faith. Build that faith in every man's heart, Lord, that we can achieve even the physical thing that we need as we receive the spiritual things, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything. Bless the people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Michael, I've taken a bit of your time. I'm sorry. So let's just close. You're dismissed. May God bless you.